Good morning, and thanks for joining us today. This is Wednesday, February 12th, 2020, and this is the Wednesday edition of The Morning Show right here on 88.5 KRFY. This is our listener-supported commercial-free community radio station for North Idaho, and we're so happy you're listening. I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts of the Wednesday Morning Show, and my co-host Chris Bessler is off today, so he'll be back next week. And today I have a special guest in the studio. I have Katie Bogalke. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. This is so exciting to be here. I like watching you over there.
And this is your first time on the radio, but as I said, it's kind of fun. And you're with our newest underwriter group called Return Retreats, and we want to hear all about it. So we're really looking forward to finding out about the newest nonprofit in our community and how members in our community are supported. We also have, later in the show, a recorded interview that I did earlier a few weeks ago with the players, the director, producer, and actors from Love Letters that's coming up and will be playing at the Little Panada Theater coming up this week. Kind of appropriate since Valentine's Day is Friday. So that we can look forward to. But first, we always start with, what do we start with? We start with the weather because everyone wants to know what's happening from the National Weather Service. We have currently overcast, 28 degrees. We can, with patchy and freezing fog, and then it will be sunny today with a high of 38. Tonight, patchy freezing fog with a low of 27. And tomorrow, a 50% chance of rain or snow, a high of 39. If it's 39, it's going to be rain. And tomorrow night, okay, here we go. 90% chance of rain, snow with a low of 31. So it could be that, but I did see that it was only a 1 inch possibility of a 1 inches of snow, 1 inch of snow. So, and looking ahead, it's kind of about the same. I keep calling this the winter mix. So until we hit some mid-March, this is pretty much what I expect. So there you go, the weather. And we have events coming up. You know, it is the Winter Snow Carnival is coming up. They call it Sandpoint Winter Carnival. It's coming up. It starts February 14th through the 23rd. Nonstop events both in town and on the mountain. This week's highlights include a parade of lights Friday night. That's always fun. It's kind of kooky and fun because why not in the middle of winter, right? And that's February 14th. There will be many zany floats through downtown. Plus, there's the Schweitzer Let It Glow night parade and fireworks. That's Sunday, February 16th. And you know what? The whole events calendar is on sandpointonline.com, or you can also go to krfy.org. Keoki and Sandpoint Online kindly give us their calendar on our website. So lots of events going on. And as I said earlier, Love Letters is also happening. We'll hear all about that later in the show, but that is playing at the Little Panada Theater February 13th through the 15th, 7 p.m., and February 16th at 3 p.m., so there's a matinee. And it is an adult show. It's two people reading love letters that they wrote to each other over a 60-year period, but we'll hear all about that. So right now, I want to get to our guest, Katie Bogalke, and I'm not sure, are you the executive director or founder of Return Retreats?
Yeah, I think I've been going by a couple names, executive director, founder, and idea generator is what I like the best. I like calling myself that because it really just stems from a bunch of ideas from personal experiences.
Well, absolutely. That's how great things start usually. So let's do start at the beginning. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? We know your name, Katie Bogalke. But tell us about yourself, how you got here, and why you founded Return Retreats.
Yeah. So I am originally from Wisconsin, and at the age of 30, decided I needed to get the heck out of there. I was doing really good at my job, but I was a little, I don't know, I never thought I'd stay there, and I needed to get out. So I moved to Seattle, Washington, and decided to quit my job as a art director at the Kohler Company to become a full-time freelance designer. And that was a big leap of faith, but it really paid off and I loved it. And anyway, spent some time in Seattle freelancing and starting my new life as Katie Bogalke, an individual. I had been, you know, living in my hometown my whole life. So it was really an exciting period of time. And during that stint in Seattle, I had met a man and we got married and things were pretty storybook until they weren't. And 6 months into my marriage, things really took a turn for the worse. My husband was put into jail for some pretty serious, sad, crummy things that just were quite life-altering. And after that moment, I did all the things that people do when they're in a domestic violence abuse situation. They start to blame themselves. They start to think they had something to do with why it happened. And I, you know, got brought back into the cycle, decided to stay with him, knew that I loved him, wanted to stay, and kept praying and working through things, and decided after a few months later that I had to get out, that it just wasn't safe. I wasn't in any bit of control. And so had gone on this really wonderful ski vacation with my uncles, and we decided to come to Idaho to do that. We went to Lookout Pass for a day, and then we went to Turner Mountain up in Libby, Montana, and did all these, you know, fun skiing trips. Well, my uncles asked, when are you going to have kids? When are you and Rob going to have kids? And I said, well, never. I can't. I'm not ready for something like that. We'd never be able to do that. And they were really alarmed by that question, knowing that I always wanted to be a mom, and so started digging in and asking more questions. And every ride up the chairlift, more would come out. And by the end of that ski vacation, I eventually spilled my whole story, which I was really ashamed of telling anyone and was keeping close to myself because I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed that it had happened to me and wasn't quite sure how it got there. I felt like I was living someone else's life and was just really ashamed that it was there and that I was allowing someone to abuse and treat me that way. But the last night of vacation, my uncle came into my room and was like, if you go to Seattle, we are afraid we'll never see you again. So let's make a plan. And hearing those words, let's make a plan, was just like a weight fell off my shoulders. And that night I stayed up and I Googled where I want to go. And I put 6 different places that were in the Pacific Northwest that I'd visited before. And my search criteria was this. I want rent for under $800 a month, and I need to be able to bring my Bernese Mountain Dog. And of all the places, 2 places showed up, both in Sandpoint and both on the lake. And so my uncle and I went to Seattle. My dad flew in. We moved up all my stuff and came to Sandpoint. So that's how I initially got here.
So you were in a domestic violence situation. You had an angel uncle that heard your story, because it is very difficult. That whole cycle, as we have heard in this world, is very difficult. A lot of victims blame themselves for it. But you had this uncle that heard the word and took you out, helped you get out. So you landed here in Sandpoint with your gigantic dog.
Yes.
On the lake.
Yes.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And how did Return Retreats become the next part of the story?
Yeah. So I land in this amazing, amazing cabin. And it's just got this beautiful view of Lake Ponderay. And I would sit and just initially I was really upset, kind of cursing God, like, oh, you know, just over it. Like, what am I doing here? And how long am I going to stay? And what's the plan? And I remember just kind of breaking down in my shower and just being like, I'm done with my faith in God. And the next morning I woke up and the sun was just beaming through my windows into the house and lit everything up. And it was just the most restorative moment of my life. And I was like filled with just excitement and this peace of it's going to be okay and you need to pick yourself up and move on. And that day in the Daily Bee, there was a little advertisement for Priest River Ministries for women. So I called the number and quickly got connected with Rhonda at Priest River Ministries, and she was an absolute lifesaver. So I went to her for some counseling. I learned all about what abusers do and how that cycle looks and how none of that was my fault. And it was just really life-changing. And
Well, I'm just thinking while you're talking, and you went through this process of despair and then realizing that there's other avenues, and you landed at the Priest River Ministries. But you wonder also, when you're going through something like that, or in retrospect, how many other women are going through this same thing? And that's probably what led you to, because you're a creative person, I can already tell that, to find solutions to not just your own situation, but realizing others are in it too.
Right, right. So this was such an important step for me, was my eyes were closed to this world. I mean, I would watch movies where there was domestic violence and it didn't do anything to my soul. And now I can't watch certain things. I'm opened and connected to a whole new group of women, which is the beauty from the crap of the story, right? So now I see different women and see their pain and want to be able to help in that. And so I tried to volunteer a little bit at Priest River Ministries, but it was too close to my hurt and the stories were just reopening wounds. So I started to really think, like, how can I support their mission in a way that honors my creativity and what I want to do and what talents that I naturally have? So I started taking these really long walks with my dog and just kind of coming back to my refrigerator and jotting down the ideas I would have. And so Return came to be. Our mission is to rescue and restore women through a variety of retreat and respite opportunities. And we intend to provide a reframed vision of hope for every woman that's touched by our mission. And so how that comes to be is, like, I would love to bring these restorative mindsets to women through these retreat experiences where they can come and gather over yoga or over a topic like postpartum depression, or just bringing groups of women together who have a similar story and letting them work together to just reframe what that story is, to hear each other's successes, to lean on one another through the sorrows, and to just, like, work through grief.
So what I'm hearing you say is, oftentimes, if you are with other people that are experiencing the same thing, it's not so alienating, or you don't feel so alienated from others, mm-hmm. and that it kind of, you can see your way through things because there's stories.
Yeah.
And when you say retreats, but you're also possibly one-day workshops.
Yes, absolutely.
Would be part of it.
Absolutely.
Because when I think retreats, I think a whole week long and you're gone and you come back renewed.
Yes. There's those, and then there's going to be, so I love this about Return, and that's kind of just me in general. There's a whole lot of depth to this. We'll have retreats that are week long. We'll have workshops that are 8 hours. We'll have a 24-hour kind of respite. And the intent is to kind of create and to modify these retreat solutions for the specific group of women that we have in that week. So everything is going to be completely customizable with whoever we bring in to really cater to their food needs, to cater to their outdoor adventure needs, their workshops, who they, like, if they would love, you know, a writing workshop specialist to come in, or a painting, like, art therapist, or we're trying to really build this repository of women who have the different expertise and our instructors and leaders and organizers, so that we can really give women the opportunity to explore in different ways.
Well, so at a retreat, you are restored mm-hmm. to something. And so it's not just folks or women who are experiencing life-changing moments in time, like a domestic violence situation. It really goes beyond that.
Exactly, exactly. So it's for women of all backgrounds, of all everything. Anyone who's looking for an experience to, or an opportunity to restore, or to get to connect with women in community in this glorious four season setting. But what sets this apart is that the proceeds from it are all going to go to different organizations in the community that support women who are going through their struggles. So our business plan, if we like, so our main goal down the road, and I know that this is ambitious, but our main goal is to be able to purchase a property in Sagal, potentially on the water. I mean, I'm dreaming big.
Why not?
Exactly. But to have a space where we can host retreats throughout the year. And if we, when we run the numbers, if we have that space filled 257 days of the year, we will be able to net $300,000 to give back into the community each year, which is ginormous. And so we want to give that to Priest River Ministries for Women and Life Choices Pregnancy Center and do things for women and for these organizations who are already helping women, but like takes a lot of pressure off. So for instance, Rhonda at Priest River Ministries has been there for 18 years. She is an angel and is on call almost 24/7 with their crisis line and has just been such a source of strength for our community and for so many women. And eventually she's going to want to retire, and eventually they're going to need a new executive director in place. And at the moment, there isn't a fund for that. And so I would love to be able to give freely to their organization so that we can set them up in the future so that they can continue doing what they're doing.
The work that they're doing.
Absolutely.
If she's the only person there, kind of make it more of an organization that has volunteers on that crisis line or paid people that, but if you need a 24-hour crisis line for domestic violence, and that's what they're working with, that does take revenue.
Right, absolutely. And she has a plethora of volunteers and a group underneath her. It's just that it's that executive director position that needs to be supported. And also, I mean, they've spent so much time writing grants when they could be spending time helping women. You know, like, we just, it would be a huge blessing and something that I'm very passionate to bring to them.
On your website, it said three different organizations. Mm-hmm. The other one you mentioned was Life Choices.
Yes. So Life Choices, they are a pregnancy center here in town, and they help women. They come alongside them while they're making decisions about their pregnancy. And they also do a lot of coaching around post-abortive stress that women have. And they have a lot of continued education for new mothers and just teaching them, you know, about nutrition and how to raise their babies in the best way possible. And their organization is wonderful. And they've started a new Safe Families nonprofit underneath them as well, which is really exciting. But just they come alongside women. And that's exactly what I want to do, and reach and see women at their, when they're in their struggles and how to help.
Wow. Okay. And then the other one that's listed is Panhandle Animal Shelter. Is that because?
That's for several reasons. It's because of my dog, Hildy. It's because a lot of women don't leave their partners because they have a pet and they're afraid of what will happen to their pet. Right? And so you don't ever think about these things. And I don't know. We're talking about potentially having a kind of like a fostering program for women's dogs of domestic violence so that they can come and be in a safe place and then be reunited with their owner when they can have them. So if a woman goes into shelter, they most likely aren't able to bring their pet with them. So if we have a place that someone can like adopt them for that period of time while they're getting out of their situation and then get back in, get them back after the end, that's a win.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that is kind of down the pipeline, but absolutely something that's in our minds and definitely in my heart.
So I have a suggestion. This is great. Hearing about this organization, basically probably one of the newest nonprofits in our community that's really reaching out in helping people all over, because if you're helping women, you might be helping their children too. And this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show, just so you know, if you've just tuned in. We are recording this, so we will be putting this on as a podcast on our website later in the day. That's krfy.org. My suggestion is we take a little break and listen to a song.
Yeah.
We picked out a song together. This is Carole King's Beautiful, And then we'll come back and we'll talk about a little bit more of the infrastructure and what the future holds. I do want to say also recognize that Return Retreats is the newest KRFY underwriter. So we'll talk a little bit about that too. And we sincerely appreciate your support. So this is Carol King, Beautiful. We'll be right back with our continued conversation with Katie Bogalke from Return Retreats. Stay with us. Here's Carol King, Beautiful. And that was Carole King, Beautiful. A beautiful song for this Wednesday morning, February 12th. And we are live in the studios. This is The Morning Show. I'm Susie Prez, and I'm here with my guest this morning, Katie Bogalke from Return Retreats. And a little bit later, when we're wrapped up with Katie, we will be hearing a recorded interview with the players and directors of Love Letters. So stay with us for the whole morning until 9 o'clock. Katie,
mm-hmm.
So you just gave us a big picture of how you got to create this newest nonprofit, but it's more than a nonprofit. It's really has a very specific focus of support to people in our community, maybe people from outside of the community, but those experiencing change in their life or just needing a helping hand at some point in time. And why don't we talk a little bit about the structure, how it's going to work, what you've got planned, what are you doing right now that is fun and exciting to support your mission with Return Retreats?
Yeah, so right now we are just in our fundraising stage, and we're really trying to get the word out about Return, trying to just generate some interest and some people who have a heart for us. We're trying to continue to build out our board of directors. We're really looking for a board chair right now. So if you're a woman who is listening, who has some nonprofit background, some time to give, and a passion to help women, we would love to hear from you and connect.
And how would they get a hold of you?
Okay, you can get a hold of me at katie@returnretreats.com, or you can visit us on Facebook, which is just Return Retreats, or you can visit returnretreats.org. And yes, so that would be a wonderful addition to our team of relatively green board members. We're all in the nonprofit world for the first time, and so that has been an adventure, but we all feel quite passionate and excited about what we're doing, and we could just use a little bit of experience and guidance.
They call that board development or organizational development. And that happens.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
some great books out there. There's even some good online information, because everyone wants nonprofits to succeed. And organizational development is an important part of that.
Absolutely. So I'm fortunate to be a part of this year's Leadership Sandpoint, which has been wonderful in assisting with that. And in September, I was able to go down to Boise for the Idaho Nonprofit Conference and to meet a man who was incredibly wonderful in giving me some guidance and some of his books. Tom Iceland is his name. He's fantastic. But other ways that people can get involved is we host a monthly trivia night, and that's happening tomorrow night. So it's the second Thursday of the month, and that is over at Baxter's. And what I do for that is we pick a theme each month, and I'll dress up as a woman from history, give you a little brief tutorial on what makes her special, and then all of the categories of questions are around that. So this month's theme is 1920s, and so we're going to have a roaring good time at that tomorrow night and invite you to come and join us.
And that's at the back door. That's the down the steps part of Baxter's.
Yes. Did I just say Baxter's?
That's okay.
Okay.
It's right there. It's
perfect.
Called the back door.
Yes.
And you have a music theme too. You have a kind of a playlist.
Yeah. So I'll put together a playlist each month that goes with the theme and the
mm-hmm.
character. And I'm not going to give away who I am, because you can win a prize if you guess right.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting. And what time? That starts at 7?
That starts at 7. Yep, from 7 to 9.
And what kind of response are you getting so far with this really sounding like a fun event?
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun. We had our biggest night, had 34 participants, which blew my mind. But we've also had, 9. So it depends. It depends
weather.
On the weather. It depends. We just changed from the third Thursday now to the second Thursday of the month. But it's a ton of fun, and it's been a really great way to just kind of make a splash into the community so people start to hear about Return and who we are. You know, just being here for the last 2.5, almost 3 years now, it takes some time to integrate into the community and to meet people and to know who's who and to you know, have familiar faces.
Well, I think you're really smart to do something fun because everyone likes to have fun. And I think trivia is pretty big here in Sandpoint, and one that's themed towards women. You know, there you go.
Yeah.
It's not exclusive. Men can show up too, I would imagine.
Men can come, but I advertise it to women specifically.
To women. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing that I kept hearing from a lot of ladies when I tell them that I host this is, oh, my husband's good at that. I'm not good at this. And it always rubbed me the wrong way. I'm like, that's baloney. Like, that, I don't buy that. Like, and also the questions that I'm asking, they're not sports centric. They're a little more female focused, but they're really pretty fun.
Okay, so that's this Thursday, and it's the second Thursday of the month, every month, at the back door, 7 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's themed with a woman from history, and it sounds like, there you go, you've got your first. So what else does Return Retreat have planned in the next few months?
Yeah,
maybe?
So in the next few months, we're going to be hosting a couple of small, intimate dinner gatherings. We've had some people from the community offer their homes to do this, and a friend of mine is coming over from Seattle. She's going to be cooking for us all. And if anybody is interested in hosting one of those, inviting their friends, we'd love to have the opportunity to come and just speak with your inner circle to let them know what we're doing and how we plan to move the ball forward.
I think that's a smart move. Everyone loves food. Is there a theme to this month's food?
There is not a theme yet. So Elizabeth Kearney, she's a great friend of mine. She has written a couple of books and has been a caterer for a long time. She's going to work specifically with each dinner party to develop a recipe or a menu for the night's event.
How fun is that? I think people really like that.
Yeah. I mean, really the long-term goal is for us to purchase and operate a retreat facility where we can, you know, host these restorative retreats and generate the funds to put back into the community. But, you know, in the meantime, we need to be doing things that give opportunities for mini retreats. So these dinners and the trivia nights, those are little mini retreats, but we'd like to start a connectivity retreat down the road. We're thinking maybe end of May. That's all up in the air. But but what we'd love to do with that is to bring together all of the women who've come forward who've wanted to get involved in retreat or in return, who want to host things like trauma release yoga retreats, or who have art therapy to offer, or who have horse therapy to offer, and really bring all of those women together for a specific retreat for them where they can then kind of practice their workshop with each other. And that would be our first actual retreat. And we're hoping to maybe do that at the University of Idaho's Organic Agriculture Center, which would be very exciting and perfect.
Beautiful building out there. You know, we're going to come up with running out of time here, that whole thought process. But one of the things, you know, we invited you in, it's great hearing about your new organization. You have a lot of energy and enthusiasm for it, and obviously a background that supports that enthusiasm and movement forward. But Return Retreats is also a KRFY underwriter. And as a nonprofit, our radio station here is a community radio station. We're commercial free, we're corporate free, and underwriters are integral and essential to the success and support of this station. So the question I have is, why did you become a KRFY underwriter? You just showed up out of the blue.
Yeah, well, one, because I listen to you when I work from home in the mornings, and because we want to be a part of this community, and we want to reach our community and just show support in all these ways. And I think what makes Return also a really wonderful business and nonprofit idea is we're going to be needing caterers. We're going to be needing folks in the community to come in, and our money is going to go back into the community, not just into the nonprofits that we're supporting, but it's going to help women of business who have their own yoga practices and who have their own art therapy practices. We're going to bring therapists in. It's going to help them do better with their funding and their financing and their target markets. And anyway, like we want to be here and be part of this community.
So
and,
integrate into
yes,
the community.
Yes, exactly.
Well, picking KRFY as becoming an underwriter with us, we are very appreciative and we thank you. And I think it's a good fit.
Because, I do too.
Here we are, and we'll probably talk to you throughout the year. If something big comes up, give us a call. We can get you on one of our morning shows. And again, thank you for being our newest underwriter.
Yes, excellent.
And once again, just someone may be listening. I'm just throwing this out here because you think big and we might as well throw out a big thought right now. Someone might be listening that has a place on the lake in Sagal that wants to pass it on as a, what do they call that? Endowment. And so how would they contact you, or how would anyone contact you if they just wanted to get involved, get more information, or
yes,
help?
Please write me an email at katie@returnretreats.com. I would love to hear from you. We can meet for coffee. I can come to your home. You can come to my home. I will do anything to make a connection and to build a relationship with you.
Well, we wish you all the best of fortune, because that's a very important thing that you're doing. And thank you, Katie, for coming in today. And we're going to switch gears here. We are going to go to our recorded interview with the producer, director, and actors from the upcoming Panada performance. It's the Panada Players. It's the Panada Players Playhouse Players. They'll be presenting Love Letters this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then Sunday at the Little Theater at the Panada. And here's an interview I did on the 2nd of February, and it's with those people, and here it is. It's all about their performance, so you'll know what's happening. This is Love Letters, and we'll be back right at the end of the hour with a bit more information. Stay with us. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY. And thanks again, Katie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And actress Amy Sherman from Post Falls.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you here. And we want to kind of find out all about this play. It's wonderful when we have live productions plays in Sandpoint, and I know the Panada Theater Players put on great shows. So thanks for stopping by to preview Love Letters. Your production will be playing at the Panada February 13th through the 16th at the Panada Little Theater. Robert, why don't you tell us about this play by A.R. Gurney called Love Letters.
Well, thanks for having us here this morning to promote another fantastic play there at the Panada Little Theater. Love Letters is has been a very popular play done by a lot of well-known actors throughout the years. It focuses on two people that build a relationship from early on being kids all the way up into their elderly golden years. And what is interesting about this play is it is read. It is, Amy and I are not memorizing any lines, thank God, because there's a lot of dialogue in this play. So we're reading the play in front of a live audience, which has its own challenges as an actor to be delivering the dialogue and creating that character from a young age all the way into a mature adult without typical your acting tools that you have and blocking and creating character dynamics between each other. So that's what's different about this play.
And it says that it's over a 50-year period of these letters that you've come mm-hmm. together to read kind of to each other.
Yes.
Okay, that is very unique. And Amy,
unique also in that, we're kind of out of the realm of writing
anymore. We text, we send emails, but we don't handwrite letters. And so it's kind of a unique glimpse back in time to a time period when that was significant. And they did correspond back and forth during different moments of their life. And part of it's very intimate and very capturing of the emotions that they were feeling at the time, not just for each other, but for events going on around them.
So let me get this straight. These were two people that came together and fell in love and then separated and wrote letters to each other?
I think they started out more like a crush, you could say, not really in love. I'd say love was kind of a developed, like a friendship. And that's why it's great to bring your friend and come along, because this is basically two friends. And sometimes in a friendship, things evolve different ways. And that's kind of what happened in this scenario, is there were one or two times when they became closer and times they went further apart. But they always remained intimate friends, I'd say.
And so, Amy, the part that you play, what is this character like, and what does the character bring to the life of the play?
Oh, boy. I play Melissa Gardner, and she is a pistol, I guess you could say. She was born of privilege, and you see her develop through her childhood into her adulthood and into her older age, which is interesting as an actor to get to play that. You know, it's a little bit older than myself at the end, but she's sort of the opposite of Robert's character. She's more of a free spirit, artistic soul, who, even though she was born into privilege and money and all of that, she had struggles. Money isn't always the answer to every problem that we encounter as human beings, and she is kind of that piece in the puzzle of this play. So,
and are you reading the letters that you wrote to Andrew?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Andrew or Robert, you're reading.
Correct.
The letters you wrote to Melissa.
Correct. So there's a number of letters that, you know, dear Melissa, dear, you know, and, you know, dear Andy, and, you know, vice versa, or just real simple little notes back and forth.
So this is quite a famous play by
A.R. Gurney.
A.R. Gurney.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how, like I said earlier, how you picked this play to produce.
Well, I was waiting for a rehearsal for our holiday season show, Thanksgiving Next, that I've had the joy to work with Amy on a couple of plays, but we were working on that one. And so when I was sitting in the coffee shop, I was just flipping through, and some actress that I like to follow came up, and I started researching her, and she was currently in this production down in Southern California. So I started reading about it, and I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And myself, I like the traditional plays, but I always like to look at things that are different. I've done a couple of radio-style broadcast shows. I did It's a Wonderful Life, and then I did War of the Worlds, where the actor, you know, like it was done in a
radio setting.
Radio setting. And so what caught my eye on this was you have two actors that read it, and I thought, wow, that's a new concept, you know, a new concept for me, and what a challenge. And so I talked to Amy. I said, hey, I got this play idea. Would you be interested in being in it with me? And so I sent her some examples, and she said yes. And then I went to Patricia, and I said, hey, would you, could Panetta Theater Players put this on around in February, and sent her some links to it, and she agreed to it. And I said, we'd love to have you direct it, and let's, you know, get it going.
So this play has been produced on Broadway?
It's toured several times. This year, Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill are touring it.
Wow.
Our own Ricky Whitty was telling me that when she was younger, she watched Elizabeth Taylor and James Earl Jones perform it for an AIDS fundraiser. And we looked up several versions and multiple famous actors and actresses have done it throughout the years. But we have our own two famous people and, doing it here this season. And it's not just necessarily Valentine's. So, you know, you should bring a friend and come. Don't be intimidated and think it's just for couples, because this is a great celebration of friendship. And we partnered with Hallmark because we thought that what a great way to celebrate a local place where you buy cards and still send them in the old-fashioned corresponding way. And so they're giving out a free card for everybody that attends. And then it's also dessert theater, so you can go do a few things and then pop in and have dessert and hear this great play.
In thinking about how you're describing it, I don't know, is it a challenge to really bring the characters to life when you're just reading letters?
You know, you would think that Reader's Theater, I've been in another Reader's, well, actually a couple of Reader's Theater's production, but you would think when you just hear that, oh, that's boring. Why do I want to spend, you know, an hour and 45 minutes or so watching two people read? But the author tells the story beautifully, and I think anything that's well written, whether, you know, it's read or actually performed without a script, you find just this richness in his writing that brings the characters to life. So, yes, it's a challenge to sit there and not, you know, use your everything you've got in your actor's toolbox. But at the same time, even if someone were to just sit down and read that, they would glean so much. And it's just a beautiful story. And, yeah, it's not necessarily about lovers, but it is about a friendship, and that's what's beautiful.
It kind of brings to mind my dinner with Andre. Mm-hmm. And that's just two people having dinner. Mm-hmm. But it is so well spoken, and the words bring to life pictures that it's quite amazing. Another right. thing that would be a great production mm-hmm. to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to take note of that one.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
And the context of the play, too, happens... you know, it's not modern. The language, you know, covers going through World War II and some different time periods. So it's almost a time period piece as well. But a lot of it, the idea of writing letters, I mean, you know, I can, you know, pick up my phone and text my girlfriend. But, you know, when I have time with her, one of the things I always like to do is I usually rip out 10 love letters and I hide them. I mean, we have this thing we do where she's opening up her purse for like a week and just finding handwritten notes. And I think that's important to do. We don't take the time to write a pen, a letter, and then put it in the mail and then wait for a response 2 weeks later when it's so instant. So it creates a unique perception on communicating to your friend.
And just hearing you talk about this again, I think over a 50-year period, you're going to see how the characters changed.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And grew up, basically, mm-hmm. right. yeah. from yes. when they first met to when they finished writing these letters. I'm here in the studio with folks from the upcoming production of Love Letters. It will be at the Panada Little Theater, and I'm talking with Robert Moore, Patricia Walker, and Amy Sherman about the show that's coming up on February 13th through the 16th at the Little Panada.
Yes.
And what would you want someone coming, I mean, you've kind of alluded to this, but someone watching this play, what would you hope they would gain or feel? Anyone can answer that.
Or
you
Go ahead,
can all Patricia. Part, you know, in part is just one to... The arts have this beautiful way of capturing history. So whether it's a movie or theater, it's a beautiful way to go back and remember either where you were in time or to understand better a place in time where you didn't, you know, where you weren't aware. The other is the reminders. Like Robert just said, what a great touching thing to leave each other notes. So it's another thing, like it really actually directing it, I've been inspired to go and send cards. And I've sent more cards this month probably than I have for quite a while, just because it was this great reminder that people need to have you this written word There's just something very special and intimate about a written word. So I hope that that would inspire people as well. And then we love bringing theater to the Panada. And so this is one in our season. We have several projects that we're working on coming up, and they're big productions. This is a small, intimate one.
Yeah. I think, too, one of the main themes for me is obviously connection. That is, you know, our humanness. This is why, you know, even why we act is so that we can connect with an audience or one person in the audience.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's our hearts. So.
Mm-hmm. And it is, there are a lot of funny lines in it.
Yeah, there is humor.
You know, there is humor. And I mean, it is this roller coaster ride of emotion as the stories unfold. And you can see how each person develops in their own life with what they're going through and how they, you know, why. There's a couple of letters in there that explain this is why I'm writing letters. This, you know, yes, I can pick up the phone, you know, because the phone in the dorm room was, you know, a letter of discussion. But this is why I want to write, because through writing, either, you know, his parents or Melissa is, you know, for once I can feel like a true friend, the perfect son, a great lover. You know, because it just all comes out in piece, you know, pen and paper of being somebody. We're setting it up. We're presenting it at the Little Panada Theater, which is a perfect venue for it. And it's going to be real small, intimate. You know, we're just going to have a couple desks, and it's going to be really nicely the set decorating. And then we're having dessert. So, I mean, it is just an opportunity just to come get out of the weather. Come enjoy live theater, you know, and we're getting to the bigger productions down the road here in the upcoming year, which will be just as exciting. But if you have somebody, a friend or someone, bring them along. You know, we'd encourage anybody to buy a ticket. So,
and then tell 10 other friends.
10 other people.
Well, you're doing it four different nights.
Yes. Well, we're doing it four different nights, or three different nights and one matinee. So
on Sunday.
13th, 14th, and 15th are at 7 p.m. And the 16th is at 3 p.m. because people love our matinee often.
Tickets are on sale now.
Yes.
And how would you get those tickets?
Online at the Panada or at Eve's Leaves or Evans Brothers Coffee.
There you go. You know, when you're talking about the letters, writing letters, the whole act of that, it's, and you mentioned, Patricia, you were inspired to actually get out and write.
Right.
How do you feel when you get a letter? Everyone loves getting letters, right?
Oh, gosh, I haven't gotten a letter in forever, but, oh, yes, love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. It shows that someone took the time to think and to put it all down and take that time out of their day.
I would have to get the dictionary out because I'm sure my spelling... You know, I'm so
used
to my phone auto-correcting everything that I would have to get a dictionary out and learn how to spell.
Well, you could write the letter on the computer and then handwrite it.
Actually, that's funny because we printed out some letters and I said, well, my handwriting's not that good. I print and stuff. And I said, well, I'll just type these letters out on a computer and then use the handwritten font that makes me look like I wrote the letter.
Exactly. I'm wondering also, as you're reading the letters to each other or to the audience, to yourself, do you use your voice in different ways depending on the theme or the subject of the letter? Because over 50 years, there's lots of different things that you're talking to the
person
about.
Yes. I think one thing, though, we wanted to be sure of is not to, you know, do baby talk or, you know, make it contrived in some fashion. And so, yes, our dialogue and how we present changes a little bit, but... Yeah, it's
voice inflection.
Urgency,
it's really
correct.
Or intensity.
Yeah. Oh, it's written that way. You can interpret it how you want, but ultimately, I think the author is quite clear in how things are printed. So,
when you get a play like this, does it have suggestions of how to present each letter, or are there? This is very different.
Often they do, but this one did not.
Well, really. The author in the back of the...
In the back gave some...
Do not have kids. do not have kids play the younger version, don't have right. older adults play. There was some, you know,
some strictly recommendations
yeah. from the author on how to do that. That's, you know, like she was saying, the baby voices, because we start in elementary yeah. school. So, it, you know.
So you're reading this after 50 years. Are you dressed in any certain way? Do you have gray hair when you're?
No, we you know, haven't gone that route.
Okay. No, that's one. Of, nice. That was one of the points that the author had put down. How he wants it presented is that, you know, don't ham it up. I guess you could yeah. say. Mm-hmm. So we're choosing right. to dress appropriately
dressing
for the situation.
Nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Elegantly, I should say.
Yeah.
yeah. So that really brings the elegance to a written letter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We did review a couple of people that had done it with different actors, and it just breaks it up. And yeah. continuity was a part of why he doesn't want you to change costumes or do this type of thing, because when you have the same costume on, you have the same, the character is there and develops in front of your eyes. And that's a bit of the mystique in itself, is just watching them develop a character for you with just this challenge. So yeah, it is unique.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the upcoming play put on by the Panada Theater Players called Love Letters. Kind of a perfect time of year, but mm-hmm. as you said, it's letters about life put on, talked, written, or read by the folks that wrote the letters.
It's also our presentation for Winter Carnival.
Oh, nice.
They like, you know, last year we presented something, and this year is no, and actually these two actors were in it last
And two
season,
years ago we
so,
did the dating yeah. game.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well,
we've come yeah, a long way.
We've come a while. We've come a little ways from that, but this was our presentation for Winter Carnival for our community.
Nice. And it is important to, you know, just to come out and support live theater,
absolutely.
You know, in this
Let's
community.
Let's talk about, a little bit about that. What is great about live theater? Not everyone has experienced it. And how would you encourage people?
Oh, well, this goes right back to connecting. I think, you know, I've acted in films and commercials and things like that. And there's a disconnect because there's a start and a stop and a this and a that. And, you know, you have your crew. Whereas in live theater, it's a new crowd every night. Hopefully there'll be some repeats come back. They like us. but it's that opportunity to start afresh and to connect in a different way. Maybe even, you know, find your character in a different way. That's the glory of theater, is that it's constantly evolving and turning into, well, it, like a human being. It's like we're growing. We're blossoming into what we should be. And that's why I love theater. And I love our Panada.
We love our Panada, too. Yeah.
It is part of the mission of the Panada to
Absolutely.
Have live theater.
Yes.
And
Absolutely.
It does make a difference. We have music, we have live theater, movies, all kinds of things like that.
5.5 years ago when they brought me on, that was one of the significant things they wanted, was to get theater back again in the Panada, because it had strayed away from that for a little while. And so we've made significant strides to make sure that we've supported the live theater and actual film. We've done a lot to support the film industry, and we have the Sandpoint Filmmakers Network that meet there, and they've gone over some acting lessons and tried to, it's very different, as you know, Amy and Robert can both vouch for, because they've done both, is that film acting and stage acting are very different. And I remember the first time one of the kids acted in something in there on film, and they're like, no, you don't have to be so extravagant with your moves because you're on film. You need to kind of cut it back a little bit. But then the opposite has happened, where we've had people come from the film side and go, well, you're going to have to like emphasize it, and you can't turn your back to the audience, and a few little things. So it's always a fun learning curve as well. Mm-hmm. But we have great writers in this town, too. So we've had lots of fantastic opportunities, and movies are great, and you can watch them on any kind of screen, but you can't duplicate live theater.
Right. Talking about great writers of live yeah. performances, Chris Herron comes
yes.
to mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've had the privilege of having some Chris Herron film, mm-hmm. you know, on our stage with different actors. So,
and Amy, when you're talking about connection, it's it's for the audience, but it's also, as you're saying, the performer grows Absolutely. And changes and finds something new inside themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's Absolutely. Alive and live theater. It's alive Right. for everyone. Yep. Well, tell us again all about it, when it's happening and how to connect with that production.
So Love Letters, February 13th, 14th, and 15th at 7 p.m., 16th at 3 p.m. You can go online to the Panada at www.panada.org for tickets, or you can get them at Eve's Leaves or Evans Brothers. It's $15 a person, recommended for adults. There is adult language, so recommended for adults, but it does include dessert. So you get treated on several levels at the Panada.
And the capacity of the little theater is how many?
75 to 80, depending on how we set up the seating. So there is limited seating.
300 people in Sandpoint have the opportunity to see Love Letters, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for coming in. Amy Sherman, Patricia Walker, and Robert Moore. Anything you want to say at
You know, we always love collaborating with KRFY, and we appreciate you because you make it possible for people to understand what's happening on a different level. Yeah.
So, well, it's part of our mandate, too, because we are arts and education.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for having us.
We impact and elevate all.
There you go. Thanks so much for coming in.
All right. Thank you.
And you just heard a recorded interview with the folks that are putting together and putting on the play Love Letters. It starts tomorrow night at the Panada Little Theater. And you can go to panada.org to find out more about that. This is the ending of the Wednesday edition of The Morning Show. I just want to remind you that tomorrow on The Morning Show, Jim and Jack will be looking at a whole bunch of really cool songs about love, since Valentine's Day is right around the corner. And next week, Chris Bessler, my co-host, and I will be talking with Chris Bassett from the Bonner County Housing Agency. And I think they're putting on some kind of a podcast presentation, but we will have him in the studio with us. And don't forget, it's winter carnival time. Friday night is a big parade downtown. Lots of things happening. And this is 88.5 KRFY Ponderay. We hope you have a beautiful day, and we invite you to enjoy Bird Note coming up next. And also a whole day of Otto's Eclectic Mix. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.